here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young sitting in this evening from now until 10 o'clock. Glad you are with us this evening. Before you heard Matt Pauly's last segment and before you heard those dulcet tones of Maria Kina, you heard President Biden's speech. And speaking of the antithesis of dulcet tones, President Biden's speech, which if you watched it and listened to it, I tell you, I wasn't very safe this evening. I'm driving in and I had CNN on my phone and I had it playing through my car. So I was glancing at it. I could see the president looked really good, but the audio, he didn't sound very good. Obviously, the guy's just recuperating from COVID. But that's one of the things that I want to talk about tonight. And more importantly, I want to hear from you, because if you just stop and think, the last couple of weeks have been historic in so many ways. Talk about your antithesis of a slow news day. It's been nothing but news the last couple of weeks. We have an assassination attempt on one candidate. We have another candidate dropping out. And we heard from him for the first time today, from President Biden, talking about, I paused because he was talking about dropping out, but I didn't hear anything in his speech about why he was dropping out. And that's one of the things that I'm going to be focusing on this evening. I'll break down and give you my analysis of the speech. But really, what's more important than my analysis, in all honesty, is your analysis. How did you think? What did you think about the speech? What did you think about what he said? And more importantly, what do you think about the reasons he gave for dropping out of the race? Because the implications of what he did and why he did it, I think, are profound. And those are some of the things that we're going to talk about here in the next 2 hours here on Camo X. I did have some interviews lined up, or I was going to line up some interviews for tonight. But when I heard that the president was speaking at 7 o'clock tonight, I postponed those interviews to next week, because this, and if you've heard this show before, you've heard me give this speech, but I will give it again because it's important, and that's this. This is truly, radio is the only medium for you to participate in the show. You get to participate in how the show moves forward. You get to determine what we talk about, how we talk about it, and the direction of the show. You can't not do that with a TV show. You cannot do it with CNN. You cannot do it with a podcast or streaming. This is the primary medium for your involvement in the show. And so instead of just me talking to you about what I think about what President Biden said, about the tones of his speech, the ramifications or the implications of his speech, instead of just me doing it, I want to hear from you. 314-436-7900. Call or text. I'm going to be pulling the text line up here on the screens here at the Mighty Camo X Studios. So if you want to text in, I'll be reading those and responding. And that's the other thing. If you text into the show, the same number, 314-436-7900, I'll respond to most texts. And if it doesn't violate FCC guidelines, I do read a lot of them on the air as well. But I enjoy phone calls even more, particularly if you disagree with me, because that makes for interesting radio. But in addition just to making for interesting radio, it also demonstrates the marketplace of ideas that radio is. I mean, if you call in and say, "Brad, I think everything you say is great," I'll say, "Okay, you know, thanks, Dad. I appreciate you calling in tonight." But when you disagree, that's when we get to explore the implications of ideas, and that's what this particular show is all about. Speaking of ideas, today is National Cousins Day, or as they say in Arkansas, a potential spouse day for your cousins. No one says that. I just like to make fun of Arkansas. I was canoeing once on the Current River, and as the Current River went into Arkansas, I said to the guys that I was canoeing with, "Hey, did you feel that?" And they said, "What? What did I feel? What?" I said, "Well, we just crossed over the border into Arkansas, and I felt my IQ go down by 30 points." So Kyle didn't hear me mocking them when I said that today's National Cousins Day, or as they say in Arkansas, you know, potential spouse day. So that I hope you're not from Arkansas.
I'm not.
Okay, good thing. We got Kyle Sixta here is sitting in and running the board tonight. Thank you for doing that. I think we got some calls coming in already this evening.
We do.
And so we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I want to get to the main part of this show, which is hearing from you. Brad Young, at your service here on KMOX. Don't go away. And welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And by the way, I haven't done this in several weeks now. I always forget to do this. If you ever want to email me about something you hear on the show, something you like, something you don't like, if you want to question my parentage, you know, whatever you want to do, you can always email me. My email address is byoung, that's B-Y-O-U-N-G, at harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S, as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L.com. That's the name of my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. And you can email me. I respond to all emails, and I always love to hear from listeners. Speaking of hearing from listeners, Craig's been holding for a very long time. Hey, Craig, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, sir, and anxious to hear from you. So you had an opportunity to either hear or watch President Biden's speech. What do you think? And did he explain to you with sufficient clarity why he's dropping out of the race?
No true clarity on this. And I continue to be very confused by what's happened here in the last week or so. We've heard for such a long time that everything was fine with Mr. Biden. And then all of a sudden he drops out of this thing and, you know, he's had COVID. You know, did he really have COVID? Who knows what's going on? So typically I vote as an independent. Fiscally, I vote as a bit to the right. But this whole thing just seems to be kind of out of left field. I don't get what's going on here. And tonight didn't help me at all.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see where that would be troubling, because you were wanting to hear from him about why he dropped out. And I think his speech was unifying, and there's a lot of in his speech that I liked, and I'm going to talk about that as the show unfolds. But it sounds like, from your perspective, Craig, he didn't tell you what you were wanting to hear in terms of his explanation for dropping out.
Correct. It was a well-written script to kind of avoid answering what a lot of us were hoping to hear from him.
Hmm. Very good, Craig. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, and hopefully you can stick around and listen as the show unfolds tonight.
Thank you so much. Good luck. Bye.
Thanks, and great to talk to you. John has been also holding a long time. Hey, John, what's on your mind this evening?
And good evening, and thank you. And just real quick on Biden's speech, I just want to say that, you know, I think it's more or less a pride thing for him. And unfortunately, it took him this long for him to back out. You know, when you've been in politics so long, he's finally got the presidency. And unfortunately, late in life, where he's been almost 80 years old, I think it's just more of a pride thing. He didn't want to back out, but it's kind of hurt the Democratic Party. But I think for Kamala Harris, I think a good running mate for her would be J.B. Pritzker. I really do. I think he ought to be commended for what he's done over in Illinois and stuff, and I think he would be a very good running mate for Kamala Harris.
Okay. Do you think that the J.B. would want to do that? Because a lot of times I see J.B. Pritzker being discussed as a possible presidential candidate in 4 years or in 8 years. He's not that old. Do you think that would be kind of a step down for him to do that?
Not really. I think if they did the ticket and they didn't win, actually, he's put out there, at least. You know, at least he's put out there in some way. So that way, next time, he can go ahead and try, you know, go for president.
Very good. Hey, John, thanks for calling in this evening.
Appreciate it.
And we've gotten some got some more calls. I'm going to get to that. We've also had a lot of texts coming in. And, for example, one person texted in, Biden dropped out because enough money said he had to. Didn't think he could win. And that's one of the topics, because I agree with you. I'm not sure who texted that in, but I agree with you on that. And that has implications. In other words, that reason for dropping out generates consequences that right now I'm not seeing the mainstream media address the consequences of taking that position. But we'll talk about that as the show unfolds. There's some other texts talking about Kamala Harris She was put on charge in charge of the border, and now she's running for president. I did see the Babylon Bee today that said a person who, because of malfeasance, let 11 million people come into this country now wants a pay raise and a promotion. So there's, and that's the funny thing about the Babylon Bee. There's a lot of truth. There's a lot of truth in what you see at the Babylon Bee. But right now we've got KC who's holding on the line. KC, good evening.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you're out there this evening. What's on your mind?
Yeah, enjoy your show always.
Thank you.
I just don't understand why does it have to be a reason as to why he's dropping out. If he feel like he just don't want to continue, I don't think we all make decisions in our lives as to why we do certain things. And really, it's really nobody's business but ours. And I know he's the president, and he wants to allow the people to know what's going on with him. But with all the chaos, all the things that's been going on in his life with his health, and then everybody's demanding him to step down, I think it's a lot of pressure. So I don't think he feel like, hey, why do I have to put myself through this? I can go ahead and just allow someone else who may have a better opportunity to give Trump a chance, to challenge Trump in the president's race. So I just think that he just made a decision that he thinks the American people would appreciate him doing. Stepping down, sometimes we have to just go ahead and know that we're not in a position to continue on, and I'm going to move out the way. So
okay, KC, hang on. Don't move out of the way. I want to have a conversation with you on this. So stick around, because here's what immediately comes to my mind, KC, to address your question. Why does he have to tell us his reasons? Well, I think we've got 14.6 million reasons why we deserve a reason. Because when he was running for president in the primary, 14.6 million people voted for him to be president. He has been telling this country up until 3 weeks ago that I'm fit, I'm fine, I'm 100% capable of doing this job. I'm the strongest president. I mean, his staff were basically saying he was doing backflips while doing trigonometry in his head, and he's perfectly capable of doing this job. And yet all of a sudden he says, okay, well, now I'm not going to run for reelection. So when you've got 14.6 million people that have voted for you to be the next president in a primary, I think you owe those 14.6 million people a reason as to why suddenly now you're not running. Do you disagree?
I do agree with you, but I also want to say that with 14 million people can understand, can see what's going on in his life and how the his people, constituents, are asking him to move out the way. So maybe he felt like it is best to just move on out the way and give somebody else an opportunity to race. But I just think that with his age and everything, it may be just too much pressure on him right now.
I understand, KC. Hey, thanks for sharing your opinions. This is what this show is all about, and I'm glad you're listening tonight.
Thank you.
I also have some more texts coming in. Again, if you want to call or text, the number, as you know, 314-436-7900. And that's why I canceled the interviews that I had set up for tonight, because I wanted to give you an opportunity to discuss these ideas. And even if I disagree with you, I'm not going to attack you. I'm not going to wear you down or anything. But we are going to discuss those ideas. And I mentioned right now with the prior caller that I do think he owes us an answer. He owes us an answer as to why he's dropping out. Now, let's compare this. The last person who dropped out of the race for presidency like this was Lyndon B. Johnson in 1968. But when he did that in 1968, he dropped out before the primary. So at that point, he said, listen, I've just decided I'm not going to run for reelection. And I think that's completely fine. If you don't want to be president, listen, the rigors of being president are such that if you don't want it, we don't want you. It's a 24-hour-a-day job, despite the fact that President Biden, I think, told aides that he was only going to be working about 6 hours a day. It's a 24-hour-a-day job. And so if you don't want it, we don't need you. We need somebody that's going to be committed to doing this job. But so Lyndon Johnson, though, dropped out before the primary. But Biden didn't do that. Biden went through the entire primary process, assured voters that he was going to be the next president of the United States. And based upon those assurances, over 14 million people voted for him. And now he kind of pulled the rug out from under those 14 million people by saying, you know, psych, I'm really not running now. And when we come back from this break, we're going to take a break in just a moment here. And when we come back from the break, though, I'm going to break down for you what are the ramifications of taking that position, of saying, I'm not going to tell you why I'm, because basically he said that. And as I've read the speech, I've listened to the speech, there are lines in there where he basically said that it's time to pass the torch. And while I agree with that, what has changed? A month ago, he said it wasn't time to pass the torch. 2 weeks ago, he said it was not time to pass the torch. In fact, the only time that President Biden has said it's time to pass the torch was this past weekend on Sunday. And before that, he has been clear. He has been consistent. He has been forceful in saying it was not time to pass the torch. So what changed over the weekend that convinced him that it wasn't time to pass the torch, but now it is the time to pass that torch? And then we have the ramifications. There's only two, and this is what I'll talk about in the next segment, whether he dropped out for political reasons or whether he dropped out for health reasons. And both have enormous ramifications. This is At Your Service. This show is about you and about your ideas and your thoughts. We want to hear those. 314-436-7900 on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. Just trying to respond to all the text messages here during the breaks because I can't do that while I'm on the air. But I do respond to every text during the break, 314-436-7900. Also, just one programming note. Usually, if you listen to the show, listen, I'll take all topics anytime. I don't care if we get interrupted, if I have to change horses in midstream, so to speak. Never a problem. Always like to hear what's on your mind. But for the and as long as people are calling in to talk about Biden's decision and Biden's speech tonight, I'd like to stick to that. So if you've got something else on your mind, hey, listen, stick around, call in later when we move on from this. But because of the gravity of what has transpired, even just this evening, I'd like to stick to this topic as long as folks want to talk about it. One person that wants to talk about this is Dan. Hey, Dan, good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening, and thanks for taking my call. I sure enjoy listening to your show every evening. My comment is that he was forced out by his fellow Democrats. He did not want to quit. The man stated that he was in there until the end. But with the money not going to be coming into him for his reelection and the Democrats all coming against him, it was time for him to step down. He made the right decision. He's got the right person to take over. And the Democrats are going to win this election.
You make a lot of good points, and I want to break down some of these points with you. Does it trouble you at all that he's being forced out, that the guy obviously didn't want to go? We had reports on Sunday of sources close to the president stating that he was, I'll just use the phrase, extremely upset about being forced out. He used stronger language, but I won't use that on the air. But does that trouble you that, in essence, this has the appearance? I'm not saying it is, but it has the appearance of kind of a coup where his staff comes in and forces him out of running for reelection. Does that trouble you in any way?
No, because he doesn't see what we see out here. He doesn't see himself as being an old man, losing everything that he has, his wits to him and everything like we do. And his family's going to tell him what he wants to hear. And the Democrats have their jobs on the line, too. If Trump gets elected, a lot of these Democrats are going to lose mm-hmm. their reelections because of Biden. And they can't take that chance. So they decided, hey, look, we'd rather have someone else as the president instead of us losing our careers because of a man wanting to go another 4 years that he wasn't going to be able to handle.
Yeah, and I agree. It's a master stroke in terms of improving the Democrats' chances of beating Trump in November. No question. The chances of the Democrats have risen exponentially. But you just said something, Dan, that I want to follow up on. And that is, you said that he doesn't see what we see necessarily about his problems with his wits and problems with his cognitive ability. But doesn't that set up a problem that since he's been telling us for the last year that he's more than fit, his staff has been telling us he's more than fit to be president, to continue to be president for four more years. His press secretary have said that every single day. And now all of a sudden he's not. Does it trouble you, or do you have the appearance or feeling that you've been lied to for the past 9 months?
No, because he's being told what he wants to hear. Just like Trump, he's being told what he wants to hear. And when these guys are being told what they want to hear, they continue on telling the American people that they want to continue on and they can do the job and everything. Like I said, they don't see what we see out here when they're losing their wits and that stuff. And it was time for him to step down to help America stay with their democracy.
Got it. Hey, Dan, thanks for participating in the show, my friend. Great to talk to you.
Good night.
Good night. Susan's been holding a very long time. Susan, good evening to you.
Hey, yes. So I just want to make a comment. It's kind of totally different from other people's ideas, but this is just an idea that crossed my mind. So maybe President Biden wants his vice president to become president. Maybe he didn't think she could win the primary. Maybe he decided that, hey, if I get to be president, you know, I probably won't complete my term. You'll definitely get to be president. But when it got to the stage that he's in, he knows he can't make it. He's not going to win. And it's almost too late to choose somebody else to really run for president of the Democratic mm-hmm. Party. So she's pretty much assured she's going to be the candidate. That's just kind of a far-fetched idea, but it just crossed my mind. So that's all I wanted to say.
No, but well, Susan, I think you've hit the nail on the head, so to speak, as far as that goes. But look again at the ramifications of what you just said, and let's talk about that for a moment. If he thought that Kamala could not win the primary, and yet by him staying in the race, asserting I want to be president, but once the primary's over, he says, JK, just kidding, now I'm going to step down to let someone run for the presidency in the... Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. Just trying to respond to all the text messages here during the breaks because I can't do that while I'm on the air. But I do respond to every text during the break, 314-436-7900. Also, just one programming note. Usually, if you listen to the show, listen, I'll take all topics anytime. I don't care if we get interrupted, if I have to change horses in midstream, so to speak. Never a problem. Always like to hear what's on your mind. But and as long as people are calling in to talk about Biden's decision and Biden's speech tonight, I'd like to stick to that. So if you've got something else on your mind, hey, listen, stick around, call in later when we move on from this. But because of the gravity of what has transpired, even just this evening, I'd like to stick to this topic as long as folks want to talk about it. One person that wants to talk about this is Dan. Hey, Dan, good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening, and thanks for taking my call. I sure enjoy listening to your show every evening. My comment is that he was forced out by his fellow Democrats. He did not want to quit. The man stated that he was in there until the end. But with the money not going to be coming into him for his reelection and the Democrats all coming against him, it was time for him to step down. He made the right decision. He's got the right person to take over. And the Democrats are going to win this election.
You make a lot of good points, and I want to break down some of these points with you. Does it trouble you at all that he's being forced out, that the guy obviously didn't want to go? We had reports on Sunday of sources close to the president stating that he was, I'll just use the phrase, extremely upset about being forced out. He used stronger language, but I won't use that on the air. But does that trouble you that, in essence, this has the appearance? I'm not saying it is, but it has the appearance of kind of a coup where his staff comes in and forces him out of running for reelection. Does that trouble you in any way?
No, because he doesn't see what we see out here. He doesn't see himself as being an old man losing everything that he has, his wits to him and everything like we do. And his family's going to tell him what he wants to hear.
And the Democrats have their jobs on the line, too. If Trump gets elected, a lot of these Democrats are going to lose their re-elections because of Biden. And they can't take that chance. So they decided, hey, look, we'd rather have someone else as the president instead of us losing our careers because of a man wanting to go another 4 years that he wasn't going to be able to handle.
Yeah, and I agree. It's a master stroke in terms of improving the Democrats' chances of beating Trump in November. No question. The chances of the Democrats have risen exponentially. But you just said something, Dan, that I want to follow up on. And that is, you said that he doesn't see what we see necessarily about his problems with his wits and problems with his cognitive ability. But doesn't that set up a problem that since he's been telling us for the last year that he's more than fit, his staff has been telling us he's more than fit to be president, to continue to be president for 4 more years. His press secretary have said that every single day. And now all of a sudden he's not. Does it trouble you, or do you have the appearance or feeling that you've been lied to for the past 9 months?
No, because he's being told what he wants to hear. Just like Trump, he's being told what he wants to hear. And when these guys are being told what they want to hear, they continue on telling the American people that they want to continue on and they can do the job and everything. Like I said, they don't see what we see out here when they're losing their wits and that stuff. And it was time for him to step down to help America stay with their democracy.
Got it. Hey, Dan, thanks for participating in the show, my friend. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Susan's been holding a very long time. Susan, good evening to you.
Hey, yes. So I just want to make a comment. It's kind of totally different from other people's ideas, but this is just an idea that crossed my mind. So maybe President Biden wants his vice president to become president. Maybe he didn't think she could win the primary. Maybe he decided that, hey, if I get to be president, you know, I probably won't complete my term. You'll definitely get to be president. But when it got to the stage that he's in, he knows he can't make it. He's not going to win. And it's almost too late to choose somebody else to really run for president of the Democratic Party. So she's pretty much assured she's going to be the candidate. That's just kind of a far-fetched idea, but it just crossed my mind. So that's all I wanted to say.
No, but well, Susan, I think you've hit the nail on the head, so to speak, as far as that goes. But look again at the ramifications of what you just said, and let's talk about that for a moment. If he thought that Kamala could not win the primary, and yet by him staying in the race, asserting I want to be president, but once the primary's over, he says, JK, just kidding, now I'm going to step down to let someone run for the presidency in the general election that couldn't have won in the primary. It doesn't that reek of some degree of fraud that you're asserting that you want people to vote for you, but then later on you just bow out because the person you want couldn't have won the primary? Isn't there some fraud involved in that?
Possibly, but there's a lot of fraud in government. But
what? What? There's fraud in government? Yeah. You got to be kidding me, Susan. Really?
Anyway, it's just a thought I had. It's like, just if he really wants her in, not saying who I would vote for either way, but if she would have run in the primary, I don't know if she would have won against someone else. Just a thought. So I was thinking, if he said, hey, I'll make sure you become president, and not saying maybe she is qualified, I don't know, but just that thought that this guarantees that she's going to be the candidate for the Democratic Party. And she is a woman and she is of color, so that gives her more support from people out there as well. Possibly, and her views on abortion too. So I don't know, just a thought.
Thank you,
that's
Susan.
All.
That all right. This is the beauty of this format, and I'm glad you participated tonight. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. A couple of texts coming in. One says, "I live in Illinois. I would love for J.B. Pritzker to run for VP and win, because that would get him out of Illinois." And so that's one person's view. Listen, I grew up in Southern Illinois. All my relatives, all my blood relatives still live in Southern Illinois. And they feel the exact same way. They want JB to be on that ticket so that they can get him out of the state of Illinois. So there's some 3D chess going on with that particular view. Also, we got a lot of texts. One, what else would you expect from the radical left? I understand. And It says here the Democrat powerhouse that relentlessly hounded Trump turned on Biden. They were his protectors until they weren't, and then he was thrown under the bus. There's a lot of texts that are very much like that sentiment, that he was thrown under the bus. But Susan raised that issue, and Dan raised an issue that I want to come back to here before this break, and that is that Susan pointed out, I think, the reality that Biden was never going to run for, never going to serve for 4 years. That Biden really, realistically, I think the plan all along was for him to get elected and then resign from the presidency and allow Vice President Kamala Harris to become the president. I think that was the plan from day one. I've been saying that since January. Also, since January, I've been saying that I did not think that Biden was going to be on the ballot in November. And I caught a lot of flack for that. I got a lot of calls here on KMOX, people saying, Brad, it's hyperbole, you're stretching, you're dreaming. Of course, President Biden's going to be on the ballot. And now he's not. And so as I look at it, and this was the point that I raised with Susan, and that is that if Biden really thought that Kamala Harris could not win the primary, and he stayed in until he won the primary, and then bows out and shifts all of his campaign money, all of his delegates, and everything behind Kamala Harris, there's a degree of fraud with that. I mean, listen, the legal definition of fraud, if I come to you and I say, listen, I want you to invest in this bridge. This bridge is going to make you millions and millions of dollars. And you invest in that bridge, and then later I say, you know what, really, it's not a bridge. I'm cutting down a tree to cross a river, and I'm just going to keep the money. That's called fraud. When I promise you one thing in order to get you to act, and then I change the terms of the deal after you fulfill your part of the bargain, that's the legal definition of fraud. And as I look at this, I'm seeing some fraud here, that he induced 14.6 million people to vote for him. If he didn't think that Kamala could win the primary, and now he's backing her in the general, he fraudulently induced people to vote for him so he could shift his support to Kamala Harris after the primary was over and yet before the Democrat National Convention. So I don't know if that was his intent, but that is the reality of those actions. And then when Dan was talking, and we were talking to Dan, and I was talking about, or he was talking about how things have changed, but have things really changed? I mean, is he any worse today? He's got COVID, so I'm not talking about today specifically. But in the weeks, the last few weeks, is he any significantly different physically than he was 6 months ago? Is he any physically different than he was 9 months ago? And that's an important question. Because if he is, let's say it's a binary answer. Either he's the same today that he was, or he's worse today than he was. It's got to be one or the other. So if he's the same physically, cognitively, mentally, forcefully today that he was 9 months ago, then why was he okay to run for president 9 months ago and not today? If he's not the same physically, then the question becomes, do we need to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove him from office? Because if he's unable to run for president, is he able to continue to be the president? And that's not hyperbole. I'm not attacking. I'm just asking questions, because everything that we do, everything the president does, has ramifications and consequences. I'm simply exploring those consequences. We're going to take a break here. 314-436-7900. I'm going to go through the texts during this break. Keep them coming. And your calls next on KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. One of the texts, I've been trying to respond to a lot of these texts tonight. So thank you for keeping those coming into the show, because that steers the show in the direction that you're wanting to answer your questions. And that's why this show is called At Your Service. It's not called At Brad's Service. It's called At Your Service, because I want to be here to discuss the ideas that are on your mind, to discuss what issues you think are important, and to answer the questions that you have as we navigate through this complex, complicated and often crazy world. 314-436-7900. One person who texted in, and I wanted to answer this on air, some of the other questions I'm answering via texting back, but one of them is this. It says here, Brad, what do you think as an attorney about Congress using the 25th Amendment of our Constitution? Now, under the 25th Amendment, that's the amendment that was, I believe it went into effect, was passed shortly after President JFK was assassinated. And it outlines the procedures by which we can replace the president, either if the president dies or if the president is unable. And that's it's called the inability or the inability clause, is unable to discharge the powers and duties of the office. That's, first of all, it's very nebulous. It's never been invoked. What we have seen in the last 30, 40 years is when a president undergoes surgery and they have to have general anesthesia, then there's always a letter that's invoked where the president states, while I'm under anesthesia, I'm unable to discharge the duties of the president. And therefore, the vice president is the acting president while I'm, you know, getting my kidneys removed or whatever. So that is simple. It's not complicated. It's not adversarial. Everybody agrees with that. And that's really just to make sure that if our country is attacked, that the vice president acting as the president could have access to the nuclear launch codes and to be the commander in chief until the actual president regains consciousness from the anesthesia. That's simple. That's not controversial. But what question has never been answered is what happens if the president is cognitively unable to discharge the duties of the presidency? I'm not suggesting that Biden is there. I think that's a question that would have to be answered by physicians, really. We've seen him do a lot of gaffes and make some a lot of mental gaffes, and I'll be the first to admit that he's a gaffe machine. But I don't know whether he is or is not able. I'm not really taking a position on that. But let's talk about the procedure. And under the what's called the CRS, that's the regulations that are invoked as a result of an amendment or a statute, under the CRS, talking about how this works. And if you look at the wording of the 25th Amendment, it says that, number one, there has to be a majority of the current or acting heads of 15 cabinet positions. They would have to agree, along with the sitting vice president, to invoke the 25th Amendment to forcibly remove a president from office. That's a very high bar. I mean, you would essentially have to have most of the cabinet positions, and you would have to have Kamala Harris come in and certify that the president is unable to serve as president. President Biden is unable to serve as president. That's never going to happen. There's no scenario where that happens in our current climate. Because we've been told for the past year, for the past 2 years, that President Biden is fit. He's fit as a fiddle. He can, you know, calculate the trajectory of missiles in space in his head. He can do all those things. So they're not going to suddenly say, oh, by the way, everything we've said for the last 2 years, we were lying. There's never going to be that kind of an admission. So to invoke the 25th Amendment by the cabinet and by Vice President Harris would be an admission of culpability when it comes to lying for the past year or 2 years. Never going to happen. The other way that you can invoke the 25th Amendment is that you have to have Congress take the steps. And again, that's never going to happen. While something might pass the House, nothing would ever pass the Senate. And so without the House and the Senate agreeing that the 25th Amendment needs to be invoked, it's never going to happen. So I really don't see the 25th Amendment coming into play practically. Now, we can argue and discuss whether it should be invoked, all right? Because whether it should be invoked and whether it will be invoked are really two different questions. One is a suggestion of action. Two is an analysis of what will occur, which are two completely different ideas. A lot of times over the last, 30 years or so, folks at my church would ask me about political positions. I would give them what I think is going to happen. And then they would think, Brad, that's really what you want to have happen? I'm like, no. No, predicting what will happen is not a statement of what I want to have happen. Analysis is different from predictions, or analysis is different from desires. And so those are two completely different issues. So we can discuss whether or not President Biden should be removed from office on the 25th Amendment. But the reality is, it's not going to happen unless something substantial, unless something dramatic if the president has a stroke, God forbid, don't want that to happen. If the president becomes incapacitated physically, if, for example, if the COVID created, if when he was dealing with COVID, if it created a blood clot situation or created some sort of pulmonary embolism, because COVID can affect, obviously, your lungs and your breathing system. So if it did that, then that's a whole different discussion. But based upon what we see right now, based upon what we saw the president do tonight, give that speech behind the Resolute desk. And by the way, let's be honest. If you've ever seen the movie National Treasure, when you see the president behind the Resolute desk, aren't you secretly thinking, are there like secret compartments in this desk? Because that's why I think that's Nicolas Cage's best movie is National Treasure, because he's so over the top, and it also melds history, thrillers. It's exciting. It's historical. It's political. I just love that movie. I never get tired of watching National Treasure. And also, Nicolas Cage is so far over the top. I just laugh at all of his dialogue because he's so snooty at being know-it-all-y. That's just a great movie. But yes, as I am listening to the president, and the first thing he said was, I'm sitting here behind the Resolute desk. I'm thinking, yeah, what did you put in the secret compartment there, Joe? Is there anything in there about the Kennedy assassination that you're hiding away in that Resolute desk that we need to figure out when you're out of the office? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. In the next hour, unless you want to continue to talk about this, we're going to move on to other topics. And there are a lot of other topics of the day. For example, the Missouri, a judge right here in St. Louis has put a pause on what's called guaranteed basic income. We're going to talk about that next hour, the idea where the city is literally mailing checks for $500 to people for absolutely no reason. Is that a good use of city money? Should we be putting that towards police? Should it even continue legally? More next hour on At Your Service. Stick around. Welcome back to At Your Service. One of the texts, I've been trying to respond to a lot of these texts tonight, so thank you for keeping those coming into the show, because that steers the show in the direction that you're wanting, to answer your questions. And that's why this show is called At Your Service. It's not called At Brad's Service. It's called At Your Service, because I want to be here to discuss the ideas that are on your mind, to discuss what issues you think are important, and to answer the questions that you have as we navigate through this complex, complicated, and often crazy world. 314-436-7900. One person who texted in, and I wanted to answer this on air, some of the other questions I'm answering via texting back, but one of them is this. It says here, Brad, what do you think as an attorney about Congress using the 25th Amendment of our Constitution? Now, under the 25th Amendment, that's the amendment that was, I believe it went into effect, was passed shortly after President JFK was assassinated. And it outlines the procedures by which we can replace the president, either if the president dies or if the president is unable. And that's it's called the inability clause, is unable to discharge the powers and duties of the office. That's, first of all, it's very nebulous. It's never been invoked. What we have seen in the last 30, 40 years is when a president undergoes surgery and they have to have general anesthesia, then there's always a letter that's invoked where the president states, while I'm under anesthesia, I'm unable to discharge the duties of the president. And therefore, the vice president is the acting president while I'm, you know, getting my kidneys removed or whatever. So that is simple. It's not complicated. It's not adversarial. Everybody agrees with that. And that's really just to make sure that if our country is attacked, that the vice president, acting as the president, could have access to the nuclear launch codes and to be the commander in chief until the actual president regains consciousness from the anesthesia. That's simple. That's not controversial. But what question has never been answered is, what happens if the president is cognitively unable to discharge the duties of the presidency? I'm not suggesting that Biden is there. I think that's a question that would have to be answered by physicians, really. We've seen him do a lot of gaffes and make a lot of mental gaffes, and I'll be the first to admit that he's a gaffe machine. But I don't know whether he is or is not able. I'm not really taking a position on that. But let's talk about the procedure. And under under the what's called the CRS. That's the regulations that are invoked as a result of an amendment or a statute. Under the CRS, talking about how this works, and if you look at the wording of the 25th Amendment, it says that, number one, there has to be a majority of the current or acting heads of 15 cabinet positions. They would have to agree, along with the sitting vice president, to invoke the 25th Amendment to forcibly remove a president from office. That's a very high bar. I mean, you would essentially have to have most of the cabinet positions, and you would have to have Kamala Harris come in and certify that the president is unable to serve as president. President Biden is unable to serve as president. That's never going to happen. There's no scenario where that happens in our current climate, because we've been told for the past year, for the past 2 years, that President Biden is fit. He's fit as a fiddle. He can, you know, calculate the trajectory of missiles in space in his head. He can do all those things. So they're not going to suddenly say, oh, by the way, everything we've said for the last 2 years, we were lying. There's never going to be that kind of an admission. So if to invoke the 25th Amendment by the cabinet and by Vice President Harris would be an admission of culpability when it comes to lying for the past year or 2 years. Never going to happen. The other way that you can invoke the 25th Amendment is that you have to have Congress take the steps. And again, that's never going to happen. While something might pass the House, nothing would ever pass the Senate. And so without the House and the Senate agreeing that the 25th Amendment needs to be invoked, it's never going to happen. So I really don't see the 25th Amendment coming into play practically. Now, we can argue and discuss whether it should be invoked, right? Because whether it should be invoked and whether it will be invoked are really two different questions. One is a suggestion of action. Two is an analysis of what will occur, which are two completely different ideas. A lot of times over the last, 30 years or so, folks at my church would ask me about political positions. I would give them what I think is going to happen. And then they would think, Brad, that's really what you want to have happen? I'm like, no. Predicting what will happen is not a statement of what I want to have happen. Analysis is different from predictions, or analysis is different from desires. And so those are two completely different issues. So we can discuss whether or not President Biden should be removed from office on the 25th Amendment. But the reality is, it's not going to happen unless something substantial, unless something dramatic. If the president has a stroke, God forbid, don't want that to happen. If the president becomes incapacitated physically, if, for example, if the COVID created, if when he was dealing with COVID, if it created a blood clot situation or created some sort of pulmonary embolism, because COVID can affect, obviously, your lungs and your breathing system. So if it did that, then that's a whole different discussion. But based upon what we see right now, based upon what we saw the president do tonight, give that speech behind the Resolute desk. And by the way, let's be honest, if you've ever seen the movie National Treasure, when you see the president behind the Resolute desk, aren't you secretly thinking, are there like secret compartments in this desk? Because I think that's Nicolas Cage's best movie is National Treasure, because he's so over the top. And it also melds history, thrillers. It's exciting. It's historical. It's political. I just love that movie. I never get tired of watching National Treasure. And also, Nicolas Cage is so far over the top. I just laugh at all of his dialogue because he's so snooty at being know-it-all-y. That's just a great movie. But yes, as I am listening to the president, and the first thing he said was, I'm sitting here behind the Resolute desk. I'm thinking, yeah, what did you put in the secret compartment there, Joe? What is there anything in there about the Kennedy assassination that you're hiding away in that Resolute desk that we need to figure out when you're out of the office? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. In the next hour, unless you want to continue to talk about this, we're going to move on to other topics. And there are a lot of other topics of the day. For example, the Missouri, a judge right here in St. Louis has put a pause on what's called guaranteed basic income. We're going to talk about that next hour, the idea where the city is literally mailing checks for $500 to people for absolutely no reason. Is that a good use of city money? Should we be putting that towards police? Should it even continue legally? More next hour on At Your Service. Stick around.